For our family faith nights, our church board made a decision to make the worship service a bit shorter than it typically is. The worship time on family faith nights is a little shorter. The sermon is slightly shorter, slightly. We don't do a closing hymn, that kind of thing. So, and because of that, I decided to not do our next sermon on the book of Daniel this evening. We're in a sermon series on Daniel, if you didn't know that already, and it's been a good and challenging book to go through. But one thing about Daniel is that it has not exactly lent itself to slightly shorter sermons, especially now that we've gotten into this part of the book that is heavy on prophecy, and we've been doing hard work to try to understand that stuff. So a one-week break from Daniel for you tonight, and we'll get back into that next Sunday. I thought you wouldn't mind relaxing your brain a bit for 1 week. So something I talk about somewhat routinely in my sermons here at Calvary is the importance of regular attendance at a good Bible teaching church, which of course we strive to be here. In fact, I even said that just this past Tuesday at Carl Sundin's funeral. I said there that habitual church attendance is important in our lives because it gets you into regular worship of God. It keeps you hearing the teaching of the Bible through the sermons. It gets you into relationships with other Christ followers, and there are other reasons as well. I brought that subject up at the funeral because in my talks with the Sundin family after Carl's passing, I heard about how committed he and Helen were to very regular church attendance. The church they went to when their three daughters were growing up provided pins and ribbons for you if you could make it through a whole year with perfect attendance. And it wasn't just for the kids either. That was for the adults. And I was told that the Sundins earned a few of those pins. And then I shared with the gathering at the funeral how as Carl started struggling over these last six to nine months with his health, and they couldn't always make it here to church on Sunday, he joked that he was going to lose his chance at his perfect attendance pin. So yeah, Carl and Helen were committed to the idea that routine church attendance is one of many important aspects of the Christian life. They understood that. So I want to talk today about one of the things that I always list off to you when I say to you that steady church attendance is something we should take seriously in our lives, and that is the aspect of how being in church gets us into regular worship of God. Why would that section of our Sunday service be so important? Typically, we only do four songs. It's not like a really long period of time. So, yeah, why is regular worship through song at church important? That is the question we're going to seek to answer today. So we probably ought to do a little bit of thinking about what worship is before we discuss why it might be important in our lives. So let's do that first. Let's ask the question, what is worship? Got a couple different definitions for you. I'll show you on the screen. Here's the first. To worship is to recognize, honor, and express the worthiness of God that he is due as our maker and our redeemer. To worship is to recognize, honor, and express the worthiness of God that he is due as our maker and redeemer. And then Louis Giglio puts it this way. He says, worship is our response to God for who he is and what he has done. It's our response to God for who he is and what he has done. And one thing to notice about both of those definitions is that neither one of them has anything to say about music. Worship can involve music, but the Bible's view of worship is more all-encompassing. The Bible pictures worship as something that really can be happening through every aspect of our lives. Pastor Bob Coughlin writes that we always think of worship as being the section of the Sunday service where we sing, but he says that gladly giving my tithes and offerings, listening attentively to the sermon, praying for a friend after the service are all acts of worship. And more to the point, I can continue worshiping God as I have guests over for lunch, clean up afterward, take a nap in the afternoon, I thought there'd be an amen on that one. And my worship doesn't stop as I faithfully seek to exalt Christ in my home, workplace, school, or neighborhood by displaying a heart of grateful servanthood that's been transformed by the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:32, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it in a way that recognizes, honors, and expresses the worthiness of God that he is due as our maker and our redeemer. We can worship God in everything we do. So that's worth pointing out here, but my question for today really is, why is regular worship through song at church important? I want to focus in on musical worship today. Okay, so we've seen a definition of worship. We've noted that worship doesn't necessarily mean music, though it can. What else should we talk about under this heading of what is worship? Well, worship, musical worship, happened an awful lot in the Bible stories. That's probably something we should mention. Moses and his sister Miriam led Israel in a song of worship and thanks to God right after God stopped up the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed, and then the waters came down again upon the armed Egyptian chariots that were after them. And yeah, it says that all the women followed Miriam with tambourines and they sang, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. Horse and rider fall into the sea." King David might be the most famous worshiper in all the Bible. There are 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. You know, we read the psalms, but they originally were sung. They are songs of worship to God, and David wrote 73 of the 150. Here's just one example from Psalm 145 where David wrote and sung, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." It's a worship song from about 1000 BC. Like, not quite sure where the bridge comes in there and back to the first chorus, but you may remember David as being the guy who got his wife upset with how much he was into worship. Maybe you remember that story. They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into its new home within Jerusalem. And 2 Samuel 6 says that David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals, worship music. And as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, David's wife, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. So Michal was in the wrong there. David was in the right. David was serious about worshiping God through music. David's son continued in his father's footsteps. Bible tells us that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And under his rule, scenes like this one were regular occurrences from 2 Chronicles 30. It says, "The Israelites who were present in Jerusalem celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with great rejoicing, while the Levites and the priests sang to the Lord every day, accompanied by the Lord's instruments of praise." Worship music can be found in the New Testament as well. In Luke chapter 1, Mary sings that beautiful song to the Lord, thanking him for this incredible pregnancy, she being pregnant with Jesus at that time. Matthew 26 tells us that Jesus and his disciples sang hymns. And then in one of the most remarkable stories about praise and worship, Acts 16 tells us about how Paul and Silas, after being arrested and severely flogged, sat in their prison cell and sang praise songs to God while the other prisoners listened. And apparently God was quite pleased with those two men, because then an earthquake followed that opened up all the doors of the prison, and they were free. So musical worship happened a lot in the Bible. And musical worship didn't just happen in the Bible a lot. It also is commanded. Paul instructs the early church members to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing, make music from your heart to the Lord, he says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. David said we should sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among the peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And then in that famous conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well, he told her that God the Father is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So our spirits are to connect with God's spirit, which is both all around us and is within us, has come to live within us, those of us who have made a commitment to following Jesus. So this is a heart worship. It's an internal worship. But it also must be worship based in truth, Jesus says. So we can't let the pursuit of spiritual worship end up being all about our feelings and emotions. It needs to stay grounded in the truth that we've learned from God through the Bible. We're not to worship a God that we've made up in our heads that feels good to us. We're to worship the true God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul writes on this very idea, I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my understanding. So true worshipers of God, Jesus says, will worship him in spirit and in truth. Why would God command us to worship him? Is he, you know, really just vain, wanting all the attention to feed his big ego? Well, we know from observing Jesus what God's about, and it's not ego, is it? The God who made the mountains maintains a humble spirit. So, yeah, no, ego is not why God commanded us to worship him. Okay, so you know, human beings, we actually do a lot of worshiping, just naturally. We worship lots of things. We worship athletes and sports teams. We worship, I guess, maybe some political stars and some musicians. We scream and we yell. When we score a touchdown, we raise our hands. At rock concerts, we wave our hands in the air like we just don't care. Okay? Worshiping, we worship people, but people are always going to let us down, aren't they, eventually? You all know of my love for baseball and the Twins, and by far my biggest Twins hero was Kirby Puckett, who charismatically led the Twins to the World Championships in 1987 and 1991. Yeah, if I had to list out a list of people who have been heroes in my life, he'd be on the short list. And then it came out that Kirby had a mistress in one of the cities that the Twins would travel to regularly during the baseball season. He'd been cheating on his wife for many years. So you know what? I purposely try not to find out anything about the guys who play for the Twins, because I don't want to know. Right? I just want to go on in this belief that all of them are good, moral, upstanding men, worthy of my adoration. So, yeah, I know that if I actually got to know them, I likely would be disappointed by many of them anyway. Yeah, people are going to let us down because they're people, right? Human beings aren't worthy of being worshipped. There's only one who's worthy of being worshipped, and that is God. So because we are all usually pretty poor at kind of figuring out the right paths to walk on in life, God has to steer us. And so his command to have us worship him directs the worship that we will naturally be doing to the correct object of worship. It directs us to worship the only right person to worship, and that is God. So that's part of the reason, I think, about what worship or about why God commands us to worship him. But we can say more than that. Just generally speaking, I want to say to you today that God's command to have us worship him is given to us for the same reason that he gives us all of his commands. And that is that he wants us to live the absolute best and healthiest life that we can live. And this leads me to my central point for today. We've talked now about what worship is, we've seen definitions, we've said that it happened a lot in biblical times and that it's commanded. Let's zero in now on why it is important for us to include musical worship of God at church into our habitual weekly routines. The reason is that it is good for us. And here we go. As I was writing, I asked myself, okay, so what good has come into my life by being involved in regular musical worship? And it wasn't hard to think of answers. I've got five of them I want to share with you. First one is this. Worshiping God in song reminds me of truths that I already knew, but after living in the world for a week, I need to be reminded of them. Sometimes the words in the songs that we sing are exactly what I need to hear after the week I just lived. Like a healing ointment to a wound that's giving me pain. Pastor George Robertson says that we should be aware that people are being put back together during the worship time. I like that. The words of the worship songs can help bring my perspective on life back into alignment with biblical truth. If it had gotten out of whack, which it does, it can help bring me back to peace. I think we could look at this like going to the chiropractor. If you had a job that was just really terrible on your body, but you had this amazing chiropractor who could always get you feeling back in alignment again, back to feeling good again. Well, that would be something you'd want to do on a regular basis. And let me tell you, living in this world, I think we need a weekly spiritual realignment. It's a necessary thing. Regular worship of God is good for us. A second good that I thought of when I asked myself what worship does in my life is this. Worship reminds me of who needs to be in control in my life. Worship reminds me of who needs to be in control of my life. Speaking of getting out of whack, my life gets out of whack when I start holding tight to the controls. I do way better when I loosen my hands and let him lead. Right? And the words of worship songs, they let us sit in that truth on a weekly basis, and they help us to loosen our grip again. And we can remember from our Daniel sermons the lesson God had to teach King Nebuchadnezzar the hard way because he wouldn't learn it the easy way. The lesson was that God is God and I am not, right? Especially tempting for you if you are the king of an empire, but we fall into these traps as well. Sometimes when we worship, we bow our heads. We might even kneel. I think those things are really good for us to do on occasion. Taking a humble posture before the God who created galaxies is absolutely the right posture for us to take. When we bow before him in worship or in prayer or when we kneel, just the posture we take expresses a truth. In worship, we verbally and we physically are reminded of who we are and who God is, and this honors God as well. So it's all good. Worship reminds me of who needs to be in control of my life. Third thing I thought of is this. The words of worship songs allow me to sing my love for and my commitment to God, which often feels different than speaking my love and my commitment to God. And this is a good thing. Worship music to me feels like communication to God on a different level, doesn't it? It's a more emotional communication, maybe even a more tangible communication. You kind of feel it. Communication to God through song is an expression of the heart more than it is of the head, and God loves to hear from our hearts. Isn't it interesting how we human beings, when we love somebody, at least for many of us, it's kind of wired in us to sing about that? If you took all of the songs in the world that are not specifically Christian songs and you analyzed them, the vast majority of them would be love songs, right? I'm in love with somebody and I want to sing about it. Okay? Love motivates people to sing, and this is why there are so many Christian songs too, because our love for God motivates us to sing. There's a connection between the feelings of music and or the feelings of love and music. And regular participation in musical worship of God is a great way for us to express our love for God. And then one more thought on that point is that when I sing my commitment to God, it reminds me that I made that commitment. Singing it reinforces my commitment to Him. So all of this is good to do regularly. Okay, fourth out of my five thoughts on value I've received in my life from musical worship. Just as I am able to speak to God through worship music, I believe that God also speaks to me through worship music. And He speaks through it in ways that can be very impactful. Music can be an avenue through which God communicates to us again on a different level, this emotional, spiritual level, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I get the head knowledge through my Bible reading. And it's not that my Bible reading doesn't impact my heart, because it certainly does. But somehow when those biblical truths are sung, God uses that communication through song to hammer those truths deeper into my heart. The lyrics of well-written worship songs often use the words of God from the Bible, and as we worship, those truths just wash over us, and they find their ways into the nooks and crannies in our souls. We talk about how people frequently cry here when they're up in front, right? When they're sensing a special connection to God. People who don't normally cry. Right, guys who don't normally cry. They get up here and they get all choked up when they're talking about God and things that God has done for them. It's a somewhat regular thing. And I know that those tears often come as well as you're standing or you're sitting out in your chairs during the worship time. God can touch us through music. We can connect with Him there. Sometimes that connection is stronger than other times, but I often leave worship feeling like I connected with God, like I had an experience with Him. And obviously having regular experiences with God is important for us. However, we got to remember, though, worship is not primarily about seeking an experience with God. We come into worship with an intention to recognize, honor, and express the worthiness of God that He is due as our Maker and Redeemer. That's our definition. And that's a one-way project from us to God. That needs to be our mindset when we come into worship. But yes, it's true, God often does speak to us when we enter into musical worship of Him. And then I thought of one other good thing that worship music has brought to my life. It's probably somewhat of less importance than these other things we just said, but nonetheless still a good result from being in musical worship routinely, and that is that worship songs help me memorize Scripture. Worship songs help me memorize Scripture. I still, I'm sure this is true for all of you longtime Christians, I still have the words of songs rolling around in my head that were sung in the churches I grew up in, or at the camps I attended. So, He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's Micah 6:8. King James Version, even. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. How about that one? They got you to memorize scripture and remember the reference, which I'm terrible at. And again, you can tell it's from my childhood because of all the thys and the thes and the knoweths. And then I sing this one to my kids at least once a week at bedtime. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares to thee. That's based off Proverbs 3. And you know that we could do this exercise with the songs we sing these days in church too. We're not going to do that right now. But my point is that singing worship songs can help us memorize scripture, even if we're not typically good at memorizing scripture. And having the word of God in our hearts and minds is immensely good for us. So there are the good things I can think of that have come into my life from being involved in musical worship of God. I'll go through them again. Singing worship to God reminds me of truths that I already knew but needed to be reminded of again. The words of the songs help bring my perspective on life back into alignment with biblical truth, like a spiritual chiropractor adjustment. Can help bring me peace. Second, singing worship music reminds me of who needs to be in control of my life. Third thing, the words of worship songs allow me to sing my love for and my commitment to God, which feels different than speaking my love and commitment to Him. It's an expression of the heart, and it reinforces my commitment to Him. Fourth, just as I am able to speak to God through worship, I believe that God also speaks to me during worship music, and that He speaks through it in ways that can be very impactful, and it sometimes leads me into having an experience with Him. And finally, worship songs help me memorize scripture, and that's certainly a positive. Let's look over that list of five things again. And as you look at it, these are all very strong positives, aren't they? Are those benefits so strong that maybe we ought to have them in our lives on a very regular basis? I think so. Gets us back to why God has commanded us to worship Him through music, because it is good for us. It's important for us to include musical worship of God into our habitual weekly routines because it's good for us. But Pastor Eric, can't I get all of those benefits from listening to worship music on Spotify at home? I found someone who has an opinion on that topic. Author Megan Hill, who credits another writer, reminds us that while we should worship God in our homes and in our cars, public worship honors God in a better way. And our purpose in worshiping is to honor God, right? So she references Proverbs 14:28, which says that in a multitude of people is the glory of a king. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king. And then she says, so it is with our God. We proclaim Jesus to be a king by assembling as His visible kingdom. We loudly declare Him to be worthy by gathering together to sing praises. We affirm the goodness of His rule by together submitting to His word as it's read and preached and sung. I find that motivating. And we can do that here. We do that here. Hill says, in public worship, we testify to these truths before the Lord, and we testify to them before the world. We may sing hymns daily in every room of our house, but that worship will always be secret and hidden. Public worship stands as a testimony. Jesus is Lord. Hill also reminds us that God promises to show up in a special way when more than one person gathers in His name. See Matthew 18:10, where Jesus is quoted as saying that where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I among them. So we will find more of God in the gatherings together of the church. And finally, Megan Hill writes, private worship builds me up, Public worship is a chance to build others up. My voice, adding its praises to the congregational chorus, edifies and encourages the people next to me. My prayers, joined to the prayers of all the saints, bears the burdens of my Christian brothers and sisters all the way to the throne of God. In the gathering of the local church, we glorify God most, we experience Him best, and we do the greatest good to our neighbors. Church is worth it, she says. You know, yeah, we can actually receive many of the benefits of musical worship by honoring God through song at home, but the greatest benefits from musical worship come from joining in with the assembly, singing with your fellow church members. The best version of worship is found in the group, just as it was in Bible times. And of course, there are so many other good reasons to be involved weekly at church. Well, I want to invite you today, if you have not already done so, and of course many of you have, but to commit to making regular worship at church a priority in your life. We've seen today how important it is for us and why God has asked it of us. One of the authors that I read this week said that one day we will all stand before God and be asked to give an account of who and what we worshiped. Was it people? Material things? Ourselves? Or did we wholeheartedly worship God because He alone deserves it? I thought it would be appropriate to take just a quick second here and appreciate those in our church who put in hours and hours every week to lead us in worship at Calvary. Like, could we clap for them? For their... It's an important ministry you guys have, and we benefit from that. I was thinking that this sermon also serves as a pretty good reminder to all of us to be here on time on Sundays and not to miss any of that really important section of the service where we worship. Yeah, come and worship. It doesn't matter if you're a terrible singer, right? And guys, get rid of the idea that you have in your head that singing is for sissies. Let your guard down. Sing out loud. Let Him hear you. It's good to feel your emotions. You are a human being. Open yourself up and let God get into your heart and your soul. Worship Him. I want to close with the words of Psalm 100, which says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever."